Stand with me if you're able tonight. Genesis 39, the person we're going to discuss tonight partially is Joseph, and the other person we're going to look at is David, and we're going to look at exit 2 tonight. And I may just look at exit 2 tonight and save exit 3 for another night, amen? But exit 1, we saw tonight a way to evade the damnation of hell. Exit 2 tonight, we're going to look at a way to escape the temptation of sin. An exit. Let me tell you something tonight. I'm trying to get to the text, but you get in that narrow way, you're going to be walking down the road, you're going to be traveling right along, and the enemy don't like it because you took exit 1. Say amen right there. Let me just say this tonight. I'm trying to get to the text, but everyone in this building tonight's got a weakness. Your pastor included. You know what it is. I know what mine is. Somebody help me tonight. An old slewfoot, he ain't going to stand by just because you got off the Broadway and got in the narrow way. You got off at exit 1. You got saved by the grace of God. He's not going to just stand by. As a matter of fact, Jesus in the wilderness was tempted. Lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, say amen. Lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Beloved, listen, and the Bible said when that temptation was over, this is what the Bible said, the devil leaveth him, anybody know the next words? For a season. What's that mean? It means he'll be back. Long as you and I are in this world, walking in that straight and narrow way, you can mark it down. Jumping right out in the middle of our way will be old Slewfoot. And listen, he's not going to bother you where he knows he can't bother you anyway. He's going to bother you in that weak spot. How many could say amen tonight? He's going to, you know, Paul said he had a thorn in the flesh. I don't know what that thorn was, but I know God left it wide open because he knew there'd be a lot of different thorns that his people would be dealing with. And he told Paul, and he tells you and I the same thing, my grace is sufficient for thee. Now we're going to look tonight at two men, Joseph and David. Basically, beloved, being tempted with the same type of sin. But two totally different outcomes. And I want to look at exit 2 tonight, a way to escape the temptation to sin. Look here with me if you will. Genesis chapter 39, the word of God said here, and it came to pass, verse number 7, after these things, that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, lie with me. I don't know why I never thought about this before, but I've thought about in our generation, we've come upon, you know, the late 60s and 70s, and in our generation, anymore, beloved, females are about as aggressive as males are. But it didn't start in our generation. Right here it is in the book of Genesis. Sometimes it's the male being aggressive, but sometimes it's the female being aggressive, trying to get outside the bounds of the will of God. Watch this now. The word of God said here, she said, lie with me, but he refused. And he said unto his master's wife, behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house. He hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I. Neither hath he kept back anything from me. Then it uses these words. I never picked this up before. But thee. God put Adam and Eve in the garden and said, you can have it all except this one tree. That's all you got to do is tell somebody they can't have that one thing. Say amen right there. Joseph said, I've got it all but thee. And what's that flesh want? What's the enemy want? What's that devil want? You let somebody, beloved, listen, I hope you're not fighting that here tonight, but you let somebody with diabetes that loves a Hershey bar and tell them the one thing they can't have is a Hershey bar. And what they want more than the breath that they're breathing is a Hershey bar. Amen. I do know one lady in the congregation that doesn't want any baloney tonight. We'll get into that after a while. Amen. Watch this now. The Word of God said, I can have anything. He's not kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? And it came to pass, well, I tell you, the Lord's teaching me in this Bible. And it came to pass that she spake to Joseph day by day. Oh boy. One lady never would say anything negative about anybody. Pastor told the deacon, said, stand by in the vestibule after the service. She'll say something negative today. Watch. Deacon's all standing around waiting to see what the pastor is going to say to this dear old saint of God. He said, sis, tell me something. Just exactly what do you think of the devil? And she looked at him and said, he's persistent. That's what's going on right here in this text. Day by day, he's persistent. He's persistent. Somebody help me tonight. Better not let her guard down tonight. Better watch for that exit, a way to escape the temptation to sin. The Bible said here, it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there within. And she caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. Now listen, we're going to read a little bit in Samuel after a while. But I want to preach tonight on exit 2. Please don't miss the exit. Exit 2 is a way to escape the temptation to sin. Exit 1 was a way to evade the damnation of hell. Exit 2, listen what the Bible said, and I'll let you be seated and we'll pray. There is no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will with the temptation also make thee a way to escape, that you'll be able to bear it. That's pretty close, I believe, to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 13. Pray with me, pray for me. You can be seated. Father, thank you tonight for your people that have gathered in the house of God. Lord, there's a truth before us tonight that we need. Lord, I didn't say my people need it. I said we all need it. And Lord, you know that tonight. Lord, you talked over there in the book of Hebrews about laying aside every weight and the sin. Then, Lord, you use these words that does so easily beset us. Lord, the enemy doesn't like it because we got off at exit 1. The enemy doesn't like it because we're no longer in the broad way. Now we're in the narrow way that leadeth to life eternal. The enemy hates it. And Lord, I pray tonight that we'd understand, Lord, that there is an enemy. It walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Lord, we love you tonight. Bless the word of God as it goes forth in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I want to show you a couple of things tonight that I hope and I pray will be a blessing. The word of God said, let no man say when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err. Now watch this. I'm reading in the book of James. My beloved, the next word, somebody know what it is? My beloved, brethren. James is not writing this to the heathen. James is writing this to the brethren. I believe tonight, listen, if we would look at how that the Apostle Paul and James and Peter, how they admonish us in the Word of God, beloved, we'd understand, listen, that these men understood that just because you got off at exit 1 and got in the right way, the narrow way, doesn't mean, beloved, that it's over. But, beloved, listen, I believe that the soul is saved. I believe it's saved forever. I believe we have eternal life when we get in the narrow way. So what does the devil want to do now? I'll tell you what he wants to do. He wants to destroy our testimony. He wants to destroy our influence. He wants to destroy our family. He wants to destroy our church. And he's never going to give up. He's always going to be setting those things out there. And you say, preacher, what do you do? What do you do? What do you mean there's a way to escape? Well, I was in the woods the other day, and there was a place where I used to have a ladder stand set up. And I looked off to the left of the four-wheeler trail, and a great old big tree had fallen. And this was like a little piece of an old logging road. You know how they logged, they timber, a little level spot going around through there. And if you'll watch them deer, they like to travel places like that. They like to travel places where it's easy to walk, amen. They got a little bit of sense, amen. And I looked out there and that tree had fallen across, and I said, boy, I bet you that trail ain't there no more. Oh yeah, it was. They just went down below it and then come right back up in the road. You know what God's saying? Yes, the enemy's going to put stuff in the trail, going to put stuff in the way, but you don't have to go into that stuff. You don't have to go through that stuff. God said, I made you a way to go around that stuff. Amen. And beloved, we can be clean on the other side of that stuff. There's stuff everywhere. There's sin everywhere. And beloved, listen, God is saying, listen, we're without excuse. I've made you a way to escape. That's what he's saying, that you'll be able to bear it. Let's notice some things tonight. First of all, let's look at the positive side. You know, tonight, you look at the two things going on here. You have Joseph and Potiphar's wife. Then you have David and Bathsheba. And I never have paralleled these before like God's paralleling in my mind and my heart right now. But I want to show you that Joseph, he did not miss the exit when he was approached by Potiphar's wife. And I'll give you some things just quickly tonight. First of all, he was in the right place. Now, if you know your Bible, you're going to start drawing these parallels like I am. And maybe tonight I should just draw the parallels. I think that's the way the Lord's leading as we go down through that. I was going to look at Joseph, then look at David. But Joseph's in the right place. Joseph had been sold into slavery. Potiphar bought him out. Amen. Of the Ishmaelites, Potiphar saw that everything that Joseph touched turned to gold. He brought him in the house. He said, son, I'm turning it over to you. Amen. That's a wise man. He saw the hand of God on Joseph's life. Joseph was in the right place. But if you go over there to 2 Samuel chapter number 11, David, in the year that kings go forth to battle, the Bible said he tarried still at Jerusalem. He was on his bed in the afternoon up on the rooftop. He was in the wrong place. So, beloved, listen to me tonight. One of the things we better realize, because we have an enemy, is to try our best to stay in the right place. David was in the wrong place. David should have been out there with his men. David, the man after God's own heart, was in the wrong place. Let me tell you something tonight, beloved. Listen to me carefully. I don't care who you are, how long you've been saved. I don't care if you're a preacher, a deacon, the pastor of the church. I don't care who we are as far as ladies or gentlemen. I'm telling you, beloved, we better watch where we go. And we better watch what we do. And we better know, listen. When that temptation comes, one of the first things we better be is in the place where God wants us to be. Get out of place, going to get in trouble. The second thing I noticed here, watch this now. It's absolutely unbelievable that I haven't seen this before. But the Word of God said here, because thou art his wife, how then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Not only was Joseph in the right place, but Joseph had the right perspective. Joseph knew, listen to me, I believe if Joseph was standing here today, he'd look at me and say, Pastor, I got flesh just like you do. He'd say, Pastor, to be honest with you, my flesh might have been leaning one way, but thank God, down inside of me, there was the Spirit of God, and the Savior was leading. And I knew that if I did this, I wasn't just going to be sinning against Potiphar. And I wasn't just going to be sinning against Potiphar's wife. And I wasn't going to, listen, the Bible teaches adultery is a sin against our own body. He said, I wasn't just going to be sinning, but I was going to be sinning against the God that loved me and delivered me out of the pit and exalted me in the eyes of Potiphar. How could I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Now watch this. Listen to me carefully. David had the wrong perspective. You said, Preacher, what do you mean? Well, watch. If you go over to 2 Samuel, I was going to go over there and read it. We'd be here all night. But listen, if you go over to 2 Samuel, The Bible talks about the servant of David, that David sent him after Bathsheba, and he said this, "Is not this Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?" And the Bible said that David went right on, listen to me carefully, and sent for her anyway. He had the wrong perspective. If you read 2 Samuel chapter number 11, David, beloved, listen, he starts digging a hole, and he's digging and digging and digging, and beloved, listen, before you know it, he's in a hole he can't get out of. He's guilty of lust. He's guilty of adultery. He's guilty of getting the man of God, Uriah, drunk. He's guilty of getting him killed. He's guilty of trying to cover it up, but he could not cover it up with God. Now watch this. Watch this now. This is awesome. Joseph had the right perspective before he sinned. David had the right perspective after he sinned. He said, "Preacher, what do you mean, Psalm 51? David said this, it almost lines up with what Joseph said, against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight." You say, what's the difference in the two men? Both of them, one of them avoided the temptation. One of them fell into the temptation. And one of them got forgiveness and he got his joy back. I'll tell you what the difference is. The sword never left his house. Oh, dear God, tonight, young people, if you don't hear anything else I say, let me just say it like this, beloved. You can choose your sin, but you can't choose your consequences. And the consequences will follow you the rest of your life. The adults are hollering amen because they know the Bible's right and pastor's telling it right tonight. Here's the man in the right place. Here's the man in the wrong place. Here's the man with the right perspective. Here's the man with the wrong perspective. You've got people that have spit it out of their mouth. They'll say something like this, "It ain't none of nobody else's business. It's my life." I'm not saying this to be ugly tonight, Brother Aaron, but little Emma's mommy, no doubt somewhere along the way, she thought, "This ain't nobody else, none of nobody else's business. I'm not trying to be ugly tonight." But you don't live to yourself and you don't die to yourself. And beloved, listen, God is saying every time you're going down the road and things are going real well, thank God Almighty you're in the narrow way. You got off at exit one. God is saying, listen, that old devil, he's going to put something right in your path. And I'm going to tell you something right now. It's always going to look good. And he's always going to build it up. And he's always going to say, listen, this is, I think, the lie the devil's being told to our generation. If you live for God, you stay in church, you stay pure till you're married, you're missing out. Oh, I'm going to tell you tonight, that's a lie out of hell. You're not missing anything. What you're doing is giving God an opportunity to bless your life beyond measure. Joseph, you say, "Preacher, you look at Joseph's life. Joseph's in prison. Let me just give you this real quickly. Show you this real quickly. Not only is Joseph in the right place and does he have the right perspective, but he has the right plan of action. Now listen to me tonight. It would do every man in this building good, every woman good too, just to go ahead and make you a plan. If you was to get caught in the wrong situation, it had nothing to do with anything you planned, you'd be get caught in a compromise, you ought to have a plan of action. Somebody say amen. I'm thinking about a man right now. He left this world when he was about 58, about my age, years old. And beloved, listen, he was in the military. And while he was overseas, they got together and a bunch of them was trying to set him up with another woman. You know what his plan of action was? He pulled out his billfold, Brother Rose, He said, I want every one of you to see a picture of my precious wife and my two precious children. I said, hallelujah. Amen. You might say, preacher, he is overseas. Hey, wouldn't nobody know that? I'll tell you who'd have known it. He'd have known it. I'll tell you who else would have known it. His God would have known it. That might not be good English, but it's good preaching. I'm going to tell you something. We can't hide anything from him. And I'm going to tell you something right now. When we do right, we know it. And when we do wrong, we know it. God said, you're going down the road now. You better watch that exit too. God said, I'm going to make you a way of escape that you'll be able to bear it. Sin's coming. It's common to every man. The temptation's coming. I said that wrong. The temptation's coming. See, because the devil will try to convince some people because you're tempted, you might as well go ahead and do it. That's a lie. It's not a sin to be tempted. The Word of God said we're all going to be tempted. It's a sin to give in to that temptation. It's a sin to go into that temptation. Here's two men. Not only the right plan of action, but listen, I thank God tonight. You say, preacher, what was Joseph's plan of action? It was wrapped up in a four-letter word. F-L-E-D. He fled. He didn't know what the Bible said over there in the epistles, Brother Rose. It hadn't been written yet. But I tell you what, in his heart, he knew it would be good to flee the very appearance of evil. He knew that. He ran. I've said this for years. There's a time, buddy, to take your stand. There's another time to put your Nikes on and run for your life. If you have to run barefooted, run for your life. I believe that's what Elijah was doing, coming down off that mountain. Say amen. When he heard about old Jezebel, she was after him. I'm going to tell you something tonight. Here's a man that had the right plan of action. Over here's a man that had the wrong plan of action. David says, well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to get Uriah to come in off the battlefield. He gets him to come in off the battlefield. How's the battle doing? He's already a lying hypocrite. He could care less how the battle, if he cared how the battle was going, he'd have been one of the kings out there on the battlefield. That wasn't what it was about. It was about a way to cover it up. Bathsheba sent him word and said, I'm pregnant. I'm with child. And old David's thinking, what are we going to do now? And so the plan, it's the wrong plan. Beloved, listen. There's a verse in the Bible. I wish I didn't think about it a while ago or I'd looked it up. But it's in there. I promise you it's in there. He that covereth his sin, whoso confesseth his sin and forsaketh his sin, I believe it says shall prosper. But anyway, it's there. It's in the book of Proverbs. But whoso, Brother Steve, getting that electronic Bible out. Whoso covereth his sin shall not prosper. Tell me what it is, Bob. Hurry, Bob. You liked that, didn't you, Mr. Nate? I heard you laugh over everybody else. Amen. We're in a sword drill right now, and most of you ain't even looking at your sword. What is it? It's what? Did anybody find it? What is it? Proverbs 28:13, did I hear that right? Okay, you got it. Coulter, stand up and read it. That's dangerous. Stand up and read it, Coulter, so they can hear you, brother. That's the reason I ask you. You got a good voice. Proverbs 28:13, read it.
He that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy.
I didn't get it exactly right. That's why I wanted to look it up. He that covereth his sin, that's what David did, shall not prosper. But whosoever confesseth and forsaketh his sin shall have mercy. How many glad God's a merciful God? Remember this. God had mercy on David. But you better remember this. The consequences were still there. He said the sword. As a matter of fact, the baby's going to die. That pleasure didn't last long. What did it say, Brother John, over there with Moses in Hebrews 11? That he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Let me tell you something about sin season, honey. It's short. Let me tell you something else about it. It's costly. We read over there in the book of James a while ago that sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death. Every time. Every time. Every time. Oh, tonight, the parallel. Exit 2. To escape. A way to escape the temptation to sin. Joseph's in prison now. Look with me at verse 21. Joseph's in prison. He's been falsely accused. But I love this. I love this word in the Bible. If you ever get a hold of this, every time you come across it, boy, this bless you. It said here in verse 20, and Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison. What's the next word? But, oh boy, the Lord was with him. Ain't that good? Let me ask you something. Read Psalm 51. You're going to find out something about David in that period of time between when he committed that sin with Bathsheba and when Nathan confronted him. We talked about that a little while back. Honey, he was dry as last year's bird's nest. Somebody help me. The Lord wasn't with him. He had lost his joy. And he was in fear of even losing his relationship. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me, he said. Create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within me. Joseph, when you get down there to the prison, a lot of things had changed. You know, you never hear about Potiphar's wife again. But you wonder what must have been going on in her heart. You know, there's some people in this world, listen to me carefully, that have this attitude. She might have said, if I can't have him, ain't nobody else going to have him. Somebody help me. Don't care about the cost because of their pride, because of their envy, because of their jealousy, because of their greed. And here in the Word of God, Joseph's in prison, but he still enjoyed God's presence. He still enjoyed God's peace. And he still enjoyed, look at verse 23, God's provision. Verse 23 said, the keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand. Let me read verse 22. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. And whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. Can you see it? He's not in Potiphar's house. He's in the prison. But there's somebody else. This man's got so much God on him. It don't matter if he's in Potiphar's house, if he's in prison, or he's in the palace, like he's going to be in Egypt. Whoever's looking at him can recognize, glory to God, give us that, that the hand of God is upon him. Every home needs a dad where the family can recognize the hand of God is upon him. Beloved, listen, the Bible said here, whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand because the Lord was with him. I believe Joseph would have made a great assistant pastor. I'd have said, get it, son. Say amen. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? It was evident. He made the right choice. Exit 2. I know she wants to. Maybe there's something in the backside of my flesh that wants to. I believe there's something in the backside of every man's flesh that wants to. But let me say this. He wanted God to have his way. He loved God. How can I do this great? He called it right, too. Wickedness. You know what's wrong in our generation? A lot of things. But one of the things wrong is wickedness is no longer wicked. Shacking up is no longer wicked. Babies out of wedlock is no longer wicked. Premarital sex is no longer wicked. A man kissing a man is no longer wicked. Or a woman kissing a woman is no longer wicked. Am I telling it right? That's in the eyes of man. Let me tell you something, honey. The eyes of God have not changed. Joseph had it right. How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Watch what Joseph has in the end. Down here Well, let me look at the rest of verse 23. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him. And that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. I believe God was all over Joseph. Sometime or another, maybe we'll do a study. I've probably touched on it in 5 years somewhere along the way. But Joseph is a wonderful type of the Lord Jesus in the Bible. You'll not find anything recorded. We know that he was a man like you and I. There was only one Savior. His name was Jesus. There was only one that was sinless. His name was Jesus. But you'll not find anything recorded against him. I'll tell you something else. He took a Gentile bride. Glory, glory, glory. I'll tell you something else. He's hated by his brethren. I'll tell you something else. He's sold out for a little bit of money. The parallels are unbelievable between Joseph and the Lord Jesus. Let me give you this. Listen to me carefully right here. Joseph, in the end, if you go to Genesis chapter number 50, in the end, this is something we all should desire. This would help us when we're going down the road of life and bam! The enemy lays it out right there in front of us. This would help us. In the end, Joseph carried out God's perfect plan for his life. His brethren come. They're worried now. Daddy's died. And they're worried that Joseph's going to get even with him. Joseph says, no, that's not what's in my heart. You meant it to me for evil, but God meant it for good. If ever there was a man I've ever read about in the Bible that could have been a bitter man, it was Joseph. But because Joseph, thank God for exit one, but thank God for exit two, that trial did not make him a bitter man. It made him a better man. And I tell you what I believe, if we'll just go around it, don't go into it just because the temptation's there. Go around it. Ask God, where is this way of escape you promised? I'm going to tell you something. God will help you. And whatever that area of weakness is tonight in your life, you know it, God knows it, and old Slewfoot knows it. Whatever that area of weakness is tonight, guard your heart, guard your life, guard it. You have a testimony that's precious. God wants to use you. God wants to use us. As a church, he wants to use the pastor. He wants to use you tonight. But listen, I say this, please don't miss the exit. Please don't miss the exit. I was listening to Brother Joe preach that message, and I don't know if he brought it out when he was down there, but he told about a pastor that ran off with a secretary. He talked about it was either the daughter or the son that was so bitter they could bite a nail in two because of that decision, that choice that was made. Listen to me tonight. Listen to me carefully. Don't let that shake you up, because it's going on everywhere. And if it don't go on in your heart and in your mind, it'll be because of the grace of the living Lord. Not throwing stones. I'm just saying somebody was hurting and bitter because of something somebody else did. A choice that they made. It'll help us along the road. Don't miss it. Please, don't miss the exit. I told the boys a while ago. Jordan said, Papa, I'll get on the internet and listen to it. I believe he will. I said, boys, you're going to be in a situation at school. There's going to be something being passed between two people. Somebody's going to try to give you some. How many knows I'm telling it right tonight? I said, boys, do like Joseph. Just run. Just go the other way. Just flee. Because it ain't worth it. Help me tonight. It ain't worth it. Sin has a high price tag. Maybe you got so much money you don't look at price tags. was in the Walmart the other day, and I saw this camouflage hat that would kind of shade my ears, and it'd have to be big to do that. But anyway, Bob picked it up, and he said, it's just $15. Reminded me of you, John. I said, put it down. That's too much. Bob said, that's cheap for a hat. We know who's making the big money now, don't we, John? Amen. 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 Tonight, sin has a high price tag. How's your wheels doing there, Brother Fain? It greased pretty good. You just keep bringing that wagon back, buddy. I'll do my best to put something on it by the grace of God. I mean, it's glad you come tonight. How many believe God's trying to help us?
Amen.
Say amen. He's trying to help us. How many believe he's trying to help our young people? He loves our young people. And I'm going to tell you something. David said it later. He said, there's but a step between me and death. Boy, if we only knew that tonight. But a step between me and wrecking, ruining the testimony that my Lord has given me. Same with every one of us tonight. Everyone. There is no temptation taking you. If you know it, quote it with me. There is no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will with the temptation also make thee a way of escape, that you'll be able to bear it. Exit 2. I got to thinking about Brother Mike when y'all was singing about that thief on the cross. He's hanging there dying. He looked over and seen a sign, said exit 1. Glory to God. Got off the Broadway, went to paradise that same day to be with Jesus. You know, tonight, he loves us. He loves us enough, Brother Thurman, to warn us. That's how much he loves us. He loves us enough to chasten us. If we get wrong, say amen. Don't despise the chastening of the Lord. He does that because he loves us. Amen. I appreciate you coming tonight. All hearts and minds clear.